In 1990, an unassuming Italian restorer named Sergio Benedetti peered through layers of grime at a forgotten painting hanging in a Jesuit residence in Dublin. What he suspected, but dared not say aloud, would shake the art world to its foundations. Could this darkened canvas truly be Caravaggio's long-lost masterpiece, The Taking of Christ, missing for nearly two centuries? The discovery would become one of the most remarkable art world stories of the 20th century, a tale of scholarly detective work spanning continents and centuries. When Jonathan Hare's account of this discovery was published, it earned widespread acclaim for bringing this extraordinary story to life. Oprah Winfrey featured it in her book club, calling it as suspenseful as any thriller. The New York Times praised Hare's ability to turn art historical research into a compelling narrative. Even celebrities like Brad Pitt and George Clooney reportedly expressed interest in film adaptations of this remarkable true story that combines art history with the thrill of discovery. The book's popularity helped spark renewed public interest in Caravaggio, whose dramatic life and revolutionary artistic style continue to captivate audiences worldwide. Michelangelo Merisi di Caravaggio arrived in Rome in 1592 as a penniless 21-year-old artist with extraordinary talent but no connections. His early years in the Eternal City were marked by extreme poverty. He moved 10 times in his first 3 years, selling paintings on the street and creating devotional copies just to pay for lodging. Police records from 1597 describe him as a stocky young man with a thin black beard, black eyes, heavy brows, and perpetually disheveled hair, typically dressed in threadbare black clothes that betrayed his precarious circumstances. His fortunes changed dramatically when Cardinal Francesco Del Monte noticed his strikingly naturalistic paintings in a small shop. Del Monte purchased several works, including the Card Sharps and the Fortune Teller, then offered Caravaggio room in his palazzo. During his 4 years under Del Monte's patronage, Caravaggio transformed from street artist to celebrated painter, securing his first public commission for the St. Matthew cycle in the Contarelli Chapel, works that would later captivate a young Francesca Cappelletti on childhood visits with her father. Despite his meteoric rise, Caravaggio's personal life remained turbulent. He moved in a world of courtesans, gamblers, and street fighters. His relationship with a courtesan named Felide Melandrinoni brought him into conflict with a man named Ranuccio Tomassoni, and his affair with another woman called Lina led to a violent confrontation with a notary. His increasingly erratic behavior culminated in a fatal duel with Tomassoni in May 1606, where Caravaggio wounded his opponent in the thigh, severing his femoral artery. With a death sentence hanging over him, Caravaggio fled Rome, never to return. During his 3 years as a fugitive, Caravaggio wandered through southern Italy, painting prodigiously for churches and wealthy patrons. His style evolved, becoming more sparse, quick, and dramatically intense, often depicting violent deaths in dark settings. Despite his fame and wealth, he lived under constant threat, growing increasingly paranoid and unstable, described by contemporaries as deranged during his time in Sicily. In July 1610, hearing rumors that Pope Paul V might pardon him, Caravaggio boarded a ship with his belongings and two paintings intended as gifts to secure his pardon. After being mistakenly detained at Palo, he was forced to continue on foot to Porto Ercole in the summer heat. He died there on July 18, 1610, at age 39, likely from a combination of dysentery and heat exhaustion. 10 days later, word reached Rome. By then, the Pope had already granted his pardon. The tragic irony of his death, just as freedom beckoned, seems fitting for an artist whose life was defined by such dramatic contrasts. In February 1989, 24-year-old graduate student Francesca Cappelletti hurried through Rome on her old blue Piaggio Motorino to meet her employer, Giampaolo Correale. The temperamental, cigar-smoking man in his mid-40s had hired her for art research at technology company Italciel. For months, she'd been completing tedious forms for a database of Italian art, but now Correale had a new assignment, comparing two nearly identical St. John paintings attributed to Caravaggio. the Doria Pamphile version, and the Capodoline version discovered by Dennis Mahone. Francesca and her colleague Laura Testa approach their research differently. Francesca, intelligent and intuitive, like a nervous racehorse. Laura, methodical and scientific, more like the mule that pulls the plow, as Coriale put it. Laura, short and direct, was the first in her family to attend university and spoke with an unapologetic working-class Roman accent. Together, they formed a formidable research team. They began at the National Art Library, consulting Mia Cinati's comprehensive Caravaggio catalog. Scholars dated the St. John painting to 1596 to 1601, with 11 known copies. The earliest mention came from Giovanni Baglione, Caravaggio's bitter rival, who recorded that Caravaggio painted it for Roman collector Ciriaco Mattei. The Doria version's history was simpler yet more mysterious. It appeared in family inventory in 1666, 50 years after Caravaggio's death, with no earlier record. Their investigation led them to the massive Doria Pamphili Palazzo, where a whisper-voiced English archivist showed them the 1666 inventory listing, a painting of a young nude boy who caresses a sheep with white fleece and with red below, with plants at his feet, but without naming the artist. Despite combing through earlier inventories, account books, and sales documents, they found no trace of how Camillo Pamphili had acquired the painting. When the aristocratic Marchesa Antich Mattei initially refused them access to the Mattei family archives, insisting German scholars had already examined everything, Francesca and Laura persisted. Finally, in late April, they traveled to Recanati to examine the archives housed in the family's hilltop palazzo. In the dimly lit cellar archive, they discovered Ciriaco Mattei's 1616 inventory, confirming he owned both Caravaggio's San Gio Battista with his lamb and La Presa di Gesù Cristo, the taking of Christ. More significantly, they found Ciriaco's personal account books spanning 1594 to 1614, documenting his art expenditures, including a January 7, 1602 entry recording payment of 150 scudi to Michelangelo da Caravaggio Pittore, and another entry from June 26, 1602 for 60 scudi that might reference the St. John painting. What began as research on the St. John painting soon evolved into a quest to locate the lost taking of Christ. Through meticulous examination of inventories spanning centuries, they traced how the painting's attribution mysteriously changed from Caravaggio to Hontthorst in a 1793 inventory, confirming Roberto Longhi's theory that Scottish collector William Hamilton Nisbet had purchased the original, believing it to be by Hontthorst. Their research led them to Edinburgh, where they discovered the painting had been auctioned at Dowell's in 1921 for merely 8 guineas, a paltry sum reflecting Caravaggio's eclipse from fame. After that auction, the painting seemed to vanish completely. At 91, Sir Dennis Mahone moved in a slow but deliberate shuffle across the piazza toward Da Fortunato restaurant near the Pantheon. His bald head gleamed in the midday Roman sun as he walked, dressed in his customary dark blue double-breasted Savvy Row suit, starched white shirt with gold cufflinks and prowler pin. His tortoiseshell glasses sat cockeyed, repaired with tape, though his hearing remained sharp and his eyes clear. As the world's foremost authority on Caravaggio since his rival Roberto Longhi's death, Sir Dennis had studied every known work by the artist. Though he owned 79 masterpieces of Seicento art, he regretted never acquiring a Caravaggio, now worth perhaps £50 million. He recalled his 1952 discovery of a St. John painting in the mayor's office in Rome, which he believed was the authentic Caravaggio rather than the accepted Doria Pamphili version. This sparked a satisfying feud with Longhi that lasted years. Sir Dennis believed paintings were windows into their creators' minds, that study in Caravaggio's work revealed the depths of genius, something no copy could achieve. His passion for Italian Baroque painting had begun during his Oxford days and continued unabated through his long life. Never married and with no direct heirs, this only child had outlived his discreetly kept lovers, dedicating his life entirely to art scholarship. When Francesca and Laura met Sir Dennis for lunch at Da Fortunato, the experience felt to Francesca like being invited to play chess with a grandmaster. While Mahan ate with obvious pleasure, Francesca barely touched her salad, too nervous to eat. He impressed them by having studied their essay meticulously, praising their verification that Hamilton Nisbet had bought the original Taking of Christ in 1802. When Francesca mentioned Hugh Brigstoke's essay about the Hamilton Nisbet collection, Mahan encouraged her to contact him at Sotheby's and gave her his own telephone number, inviting her to see his paintings in London. Only later did Francesca realize his interest wasn't entirely altruistic. He wanted to be first to hear of any discoveries she might make. As Brigstoke later warned her, Mahan latches on to young scholars when they interest him. This was the beginning of a relationship that would eventually connect all the key players in the rediscovery of Caravaggio's lost masterpiece. In August 1990, Sergio Benedetti, the National Gallery of Ireland's chief conservator, accompanied Assistant Director Brian Kennedy to the St. Ignatius residence on Lower Leeson Street in Dublin. The Jesuits had requested assistance in cleaning several paintings from their collection, most of which were typical religious works of modest artistic merit. However, among these unremarkable pieces, Benedetti's attention was immediately captured by a large, dark painting in an ornate gilt frame. Despite layers of accumulated dust, kitchen grease, and severely yellowed varnish obscuring its surface, Benedetti's trained eye recognized telltale signs of exceptional 17th-century craftsmanship. The painting's size, approximately 5.5 by 4 feet, and its remarkable state of preservation immediately suggested something extraordinary. After a meticulous preliminary examination of the craquelure patterns in the paint surface, the distinctive brushwork techniques, and particularly the masterful rendering of hands and faces characteristic of the Baroque period, Benedetti strategically suggested taking it to the gallery for restoration. He deliberately kept his growing suspicions to himself, not wanting to create premature excitement. Only during their walk back to the gallery did he reveal to a visibly skeptical Kennedy what seemed an almost preposterous possibility. "I think it might be by Caravaggio." Kennedy, understanding the magnitude of such a claim, immediately suggested they consult with Raymond Keaveney, the gallery's director. Keaveney, a wiry man with sharp features and wavy gray hair who was known for his cautious approach to attribution, remained deeply skeptical despite his long-standing respect for Benedetti's judgment. When Benedetti described recognizing the subject matter, Christ's betrayal by Judas in the Garden of Gethsemane, and explained that while numerous copies existed throughout Europe, this painting exhibited characteristics that suggested it could be the original, Keaveney insisted on absolute secrecy and extreme caution. He later pulled Kennedy aside, warning him privately, "The implications are staggering. There will be dealers from London and New York with their wallets wide open if word gets out." Benedetti's expertise was particularly relevant to this discovery. Having trained at Rome's prestigious Istituto Centrale per il Restauro, he had spent decades studying Italian Baroque painting and had always dreamed of making a significant discovery during his 25 years of restoration work. His time in Rome had proved invaluable, especially his carefully cultivated relationship with Sir Dennis Mahone, the preeminent Caravaggio scholar, whom he had first met at Mario's Trattoria in 1968. Though Benedetti had worked as a restorer primarily out of necessity rather than choice, he had devoted countless hours to studying everything about Caravaggio, his artistic hero, from technical methods to historical documentation. Upon closer inspection at the gallery, Benedetti noticed a wooden plaque attached to the frame identifying the painting as The Betrayal of Christ by Gerard Hanthorst, also known as Gerardo della Norte. This attribution triggered an immediate connection to Roberto Longhi's seminal essay suggesting that Caravaggio's lost masterpiece, The Taking of Christ, had been misattributed to Hanthorst over the centuries. The possibility electrified Benedetti. Could this dusty painting from a Jesuit residence be the very same work that had vanished without trace after the mysterious 1921 Edinburgh auction? The coincidence seemed almost too perfect, yet the evidence was compelling enough to warrant deeper investigation. Benedetti began the delicate process of restoring the painting, laying it face down on a white cloth to examine its condition. He discovered the canvas had been relined at least once before, with the original canvas trimmed to within a quarter inch of the painted surface. Though the relining was over 100 years old, it had held up remarkably well with minimal damage. Michael Olahan photographed the painting in its original state, documenting each step of the restoration process. As layers of dirt and yellowed varnish were carefully removed, evidence of Caravaggio's distinctive technique began to emerge. Benedetti discovered pentimenti, artists' corrections, that copyists wouldn't make, including a ghostly second ear above Judas's head and adjustments to a soldier's belt. These changes revealed the creative process of an artist working directly on the canvas rather than copying a finished composition. The most critical and controversial moment came when Benedetti decided to reline the painting, a procedure comparable to cardiac surgery that subjects an already fragile artwork to significant stress. Following traditional methods, he first protected the painting's surface with tissue paper adhered with a mixture of rabbit skin glue, water, vinegar, ox bile, and molasses. After removing the old brittle lining, he found the original canvas was high-quality single-sheet hemp that had darkened to brown with age. However, accounts of what happened next differ dramatically. Benedetti used Irish linen canvas instead of waiting for proper Italian canvas, applying his traditional glue mixture and hand-pressing techniques. The densely woven Irish canvas absorbed glue differently than the original, causing contraction that cracked the paint surface. Fellow restorer Andrew O'Connor and photographer Michael Olahan observed the damage with shock, noting hairline cracks across the painting like a sheet of ice that has started to melt. Though visibly distressed, Benedetti never discussed the problem and worked alone to remedy it, eventually relining the painting again with proper Italian canvas. Despite this setback, scientific analysis in London confirmed the painting's authenticity. Tests comparing its pigments to those in Caravaggio's The Supper at Emmaus showed consistent use of materials: lead tin yellow, malachite, red lake, bone black, and green earth mixed with walnut oil. One unusual feature was the bizarre ground layer containing reds, yellows, and green earth, which scientist Ashok Roy described as resembling a palette scraping ground where leftover paints had been recycled as primer, a characteristic technique observed in other Caravaggio works. While the scientific analysis proceeded, Benedetti worked to establish the painting's provenance, the documented history of ownership that would connect the Dublin painting to Caravaggio's original. He traveled to Edinburgh, unknowingly following Francesca's research path. At the National Portrait Gallery, he found the 1921 auction catalog showing 8 guineas noted beside the Taking of Christ. At the Scottish Record Office, he discovered Italian receipts showing Duke Giuseppe Mackay had sold 6 paintings, including The Taking of Christ by Hanthorst, to Hamilton Nisbet. His most significant discovery came at the National Gallery of Scotland, where he found 2 Mackay paintings with frames identical to the Dublin painting, providing physical proof connecting it to Hamilton Nisbet's collection and the Mackay family. Benedetti also discovered that Hamilton Nisbet had actually paid 2,300 scudi for the paintings, not the 525 scudi listed on the export license, suggesting Patrick Moore had understated the cost to avoid customs duties. After meeting Sir Denis Mahone at a Guercino exhibition in Bologna, Benedetti was encouraged to contact Francesca Cappelletti about her Mackay research. Their meeting in Rome was tense. Benedetti scrutinized her research line by line while revealing nothing about his own findings. his condescending manner irritating Francesca. Yet his intense interest in her work suggested he had found something significant related to the taking of Christ. The final piece of the provenance puzzle emerged when Father Barber revealed the painting had been gifted to Father Tom Finlay by Dr. Marie Leah Wilson, a pediatrician who had died over 20 years earlier. Born to a wealthy Catholic family in 1888, she had married Captain Percival Leah Wilson, who was later assassinated by the IRA in 1920. After her husband's death, she found solace through Father Finlay's guidance and became one of Dublin's few female doctors. Despite extensive research, Benedetti couldn't determine how she acquired the painting between its 1921 Edinburgh auction and its gifting to the Jesuits in the early 1930s, a decade-long gap in an otherwise meticulously documented four-century history. The secret of the painting's discovery couldn't be kept forever. Italian journalist Fabio Eastman's detective work began when Dennis Mahon casually mentioned seeing a new Caravaggio a few weeks ago while being driven from the train station in Rome. After questioning various Caravaggio experts and receiving cryptic responses, Eastman made a brilliant deduction. Recalling an article about Mattei collection paintings, he suspected the work might be The Taking of Christ. After discovering a curious Dublin exhibition curated by an unknown Italian named Sergio Benedetti, Eastman made a direct call to Ireland. When confronted, Benedetti exclaimed, "Cazzo!" in surprise, confirming Eastman had guessed correctly. Despite Benedetti's pleas to wait for the official announcement, Eastman published his scoop on the front page of Il Messaggero 4 days later. The news immediately traveled to Father Barber, who was returning from a silent Easter retreat. When Brian Kennedy revealed the painting's true identity as a Caravaggio masterpiece potentially worth £35 million, Father Barber was initially shocked but couldn't contain his enthusiasm, nearly floating with excitement. The Jesuits debated the painting's fate intensely. Some argued for selling it. The proceeds could fund their St. Vincent de Paul charity or build a new school, especially with Ireland's 19% unemployment rate. Father Barber, however, insisted it remain in Ireland, warning, "The country would turn on us in anger if we sold it off." After careful deliberation, the Provincial of the Society of Jesus announced their decision to place The Taking of Christ on indefinite loan to the National Gallery of Ireland, effectively giving the gallery full possession while maintaining their stewardship. In November 1993, scholars from around the world gathered in Dublin for the public unveiling of The Taking of Christ. Francesca saw the painting for the first time, larger than she had imagined, with light more brilliant and colors more luminous than photographs had suggested. She examined the details closely. Caravaggio's self-portrait holding the lantern, the veined hand of Judas, and pentimenti visible in the original. The painting's power transported her, reminiscent of her first encounter with Caravaggio's work as a young girl. Following the conference, Sergio Benedetti's life underwent a dramatic transformation. Once a quiet restorer working in relative obscurity, he suddenly found himself thrust into the international spotlight. Art enthusiasts and scholars sought his autograph at exhibitions, and his name became permanently associated with Caravaggio scholarship, joining the ranks of legendary figures like Roberto Longhi and Dennis Mahon. Leading museums and universities across Europe extended invitations for him to lecture on his historic discovery. Irish television produced an hour-long documentary chronicling the fascinating story, while the National Gallery of Ireland elevated him to curator of Italian art, marking the end of his hands-on restoration work. The Taking of Christ embarked on an extensive exhibition tour, traveling to prestigious venues including the National Gallery in London, the Palazzo Venezia in Rome, and several major American museums. Benedetti accompanied the painting on these journeys, sharing detailed insights about its discovery and restoration process with eager audiences. Each exhibition drew record crowds, with visitors often waiting hours to glimpse the masterpiece that had been hidden for centuries. Francesca and Luciano's romance, kindled during the investigation, culminated in their wedding at Rome's historic San Lorenzo in Lucina Basilica the following year. The church, with its own Caravaggio connection through a painting that once hung there, provided a fitting venue. However, their marriage eventually ended as they struggled to bridge the geographic divide between Dublin and Rome. Sir Denis Mahone, whose validation had been crucial to authenticating the painting, remained actively engaged in Caravaggio scholarship well into his 90s, attending conferences and debates with undiminished enthusiasm. His final gift to art history was the donation of his exceptional collection of 73 paintings to the British National Gallery, ensuring their preservation for future generations. The painting's new life at the National Gallery of Ireland wasn't without challenges. In April 1997, an observant visitor spotted minute movement on the frame, leading to a concerning discovery by conservator Andrew O'Connor. Upon careful examination in the restoration studio, he found an infestation of biscuit beetles, Stegobium panaceum, that had consumed portions of the relining along the tacking edges. The insects had been attracted to the traditional flower-based colapasta adhesive used in Benedetti's restoration. While the original canvas thankfully remained intact, the situation required immediate intervention. O'Connor opted for a conservative approach, carefully removing the compromised sections and applying new tacking edges using modern synthetic resins more resistant to such infestations. The rediscovery of the taking of Christ transcends the mere identification of a lost masterpiece. It exemplifies the collaborative spirit of art scholarship and conservation. From Francesca Capaletti and Laura Testa's methodical archival research in Roman libraries to Benedetti's skilled eye and careful restoration work, the painting's journey from obscurity to worldwide recognition illustrates the interconnected nature of art history. As Denis Mahone frequently reminded colleagues, habent sua fata picturae, paintings have their own destinies, unfolding across centuries until the perfect alignment of scholarship, expertise, and fortune brings them back into the light. Today, the painting stands as the crown jewel of the Irish National Gallery's collection, drawing art lovers from every corner of the globe who come to witness this masterpiece of Baroque art whose own dramatic history rivals the scene it depicts.